Hi, I'm Andy Herman of the Pack a Day podcast. I'm here to tell you about Tick Pick. Tick Pick should be your very first choice to buy football tickets because they save fans money by never charging any service fees ever. Tick Pick is the exclusive ticketing partner for the Pack a Day podcast and the Blue Wire Network.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I will be your host today. You can find me on Twitter at Jacob Morley, and I am joined today, as always, by my co-host, Ross Uglum. Find him on Twitter at Ross Uglum. Ross, say hello to all the good people out there.
What's up, everybody? Enjoy this slightly extended Victory Monday, getting this on a Tuesday.
Yeah. A little Christmas football, man. Ain't bad. I wasn't mad about it.
I've been mad about the lack of Thanksgiving football for good Thanksgiving football for a long time. I mean, I haven't seen Packers Lions on Thanksgiving in a minute, and of course everybody remembers the loss to the Bears at home with Bart Starr and Brett Favre in the building.
Yikes. Yeah, and which honestly, I that thought crossed my mind on Christmas, because it's like we can't have nice things on holidays, on a holiday where franchise records were broken. Just kind of like, good Lord, is right. That something that is just going to be a thing again? Like, we can't just really celebrate this. But no, I was at home watching, and I'm in my parents' living room on their, big ass TV, trying to watch it in there. But then my family comes out and joins me, and I love my family very much. But I tweeted this about my lovely sister coming out there, just knows nothing about football. And like, that's fine. I don't care. That's totally fine. If you don't like football, like, good on you. Right. But just the first quarter, I had to leave, and I watched the rest of the game on my laptop.
Oh, I threatened to leave the room like 8 times.
Yeah. My sister Janelle says this first quarter. She goes, "Oh, Aaron Rodgers still plays." Yeah. Yeah, he's like, he's pretty old. I'm like, he's been around for a while. But yeah, and then just the questions you get and stuff, and it's not a great experience, and that's why I typically only watch games by myself. But that's all right. My family's great. Had a great Christmas. Hope everyone out there had a great Christmas as well. But around the holidays, Ross, like, there's a lot of, mental stuff that goes on. A lot of people struggle with their, mental state. And one thing that I think is going to be really, really productive for us today, talking about kind of that therapy type stuff, is one thing you do when you have anxious thoughts, when you struggle with anxiety, which I do. I struggle with anxiety. I've been to counseling over this type of stuff. One particular exercise that you like to do is you like to pinpoint your fears. You like to say, what's scaring you? What is causing you this anxiety right now? And let's put it in the light. Let's put it out there and let's see what's the worst that could happen. And I feel like for Packers fans right now, that, as the playoffs are approaching, as this team continues to win, some of the people on Twitter that love to hate on this Packers team, that continuously love to hate on the team, love to point out, okay, the last 2 weeks, they've only won by 3 points against teams that were decimated by injuries, right? These are games that they should have won. They didn't cover, all that type of stuff. So I think that's causing a lot of anxious thoughts for this Packers team, which I think it's good to talk about this stuff, to say, what are the things that scare you the most about this team? And this, the first segment is going to be negative, Ross. This is going to be negative. This is going to be tough. But we got to work through this stuff. We got to work through this stuff. We got to look this stuff in the face if we're going to overcome it. All right? So the thing that scares you the most about this team, what might cause this team to potentially lose in a big spot versus another heavyweight type team? What are some things, Ross, and I'll let you get started on this. What is one thing that scares you about this team that could sink this ship?
You know, I think defense is the top thing. You know, them dropping into the mid-20s, low to mid-20s, and defensive DVOA. You'll notice, I think there was, you know, one tweet, and I'm sure it was maybe after the Kansas City game or something like that, where I said I would maybe possibly consider potentially maybe admitting I was wrong about Joe Barry. I gave myself a lot of outs there, and it's for this reason. I mean, they have and I would guess that I can probably guarantee you the run DVOA is going to go down after this week. And I would pretty much guarantee you the overall DVOA is going to go down. And people are like, yeah, whatever, stats are for nerds. But this is a statistic based on your schedule, the actual people that you've played, and how much better you're doing against that schedule than the other teams. And it's, in my opinion, just way better than total defense, which can be thrown off by a million different things and can be made to look stupid by a million different things. By the way, Mr. Stack, Mr. Morley, the Packers defensive ranking at the end of last season under Mike Pettine, 17th. Mm-hmm. They are a worse defense this year. Mm-hmm. And they can't stop the run. They play too soft. They're 12-3, but this is just not an elite defense, period. It's just not. I don't know what else to tell you. It's just not an elite defense, and people really did paint it that way, at least early.
What is this team's record if Rasul Douglas does not basically come in with a Superman cape on and play the way he has and close out some of these games? I mean, that's it. He's good for at least two wins this year.
What if nobody ever gets hurt? I mean, besides Jair, what do you think this roster looks like if Kevin King and Eric Stokes have just stayed healthy? What do you think this team and their record looks like if Kevin King and Eric Stokes just stayed healthy the entire time? Because I know there was another veteran corner that I was somewhat interested in on the practice squad as well. I don't think he ever made it to the active roster, and his name is escaping me right now. But
Quentin Dunbar.
Yeah, Quentin Dunbar, right. They were looking, and you're right, man. Imagine if they never get to that level of desperation.
Yeah, and I think the only thing with defense, I guess there could still be that, you know, that knight shining in, that shining armor, whatever that saying is, the guy riding in on the horse with Jair coming back. And even if it's just, and I was thinking about this today, even if Jair comes back and can't really play, but even if he just comes in as like that dime safety type guy and plays 15, 20 snaps a game, like people will be up in arms, mad about why he's not out there playing more. But like the guy's still dealing with an injury. He's still going to be dealing with this the rest of the season. But even that is a significant upgrade. I'm just at the point that I just don't think Za'Darius is coming back this year. Like, I think that's fair to say, unless he starts practicing this week or next week, but it just doesn't seem like he's close. So those two guys, if they were to come back, I think you could get a potential boost. But Ross, I would venture to say that your worries about this defense isn't necessarily about the personnel. It's more about, is Joe Barry going to use this personnel and put them in a position to be successful?
Right. And, you know, I think if you have elite personnel like all over the field, that does help. You know, if you do get a version of Za'Darius Smith back and you use him as a monster backer out there with Devondre Campbell, and you deploy some of that kind of stuff, you know, kind of a psychotic Clay Matthews role when they had to move Clay Matthews off the ball, I think you could have something pretty cool, pretty special. But right now, I've mentioned it, you know, again and again, the Packers have three players in dime that you can just ID. Mm-hmm. And that's Henry Black, Chandon Sullivan, and Chris Barnes. And however they're on the field, other teams can look at them, whether it's nickel. And what I mean by that is whether it's nickel, Barnes gets work in base as the second off the ball linebacker. Chandon's obviously in there constantly. And look, now last year, and this is the one way they have improved, they had another one. You know, they had Kevin King that you could ID. And there are a lot of teams, and you even see, like, I would argue the Browns kind of outsmarted themselves as far as, you know, stopping using Nick Chubb constantly. I think with three timeouts, they could have run the ball down the field and probably set up for that field goal. I don't think they needed to throw it with 2 minutes left and three timeouts. But you outsmart yourself. And that's something that the Bucs didn't do last year. They just said, Kevin King and Chandon Sullivan stink. And we are going to throw at Chandon Sullivan and Kevin King until Green Bay does something completely different. And it just never happened. And so if you get a stubborn, smart team like Leftwich, Arians, and Brady, if you get a team where they are just going to ID Black, Barnes, and Sullivan until you're blue in the face, that's a problem. That's a problem. And it's potentially a solvable problem by the additions of Z and of specifically Ja. I mean, especially if you just leave Sewell and Stokes to their devices on the outside and deploy, you know, Jair in that nickel, that becomes a pretty scary secondary.
Yeah, and I think you just touched on the what's the worst that could happen with this team. You know, your biggest fear is the defense continuing to trend in the wrong direction, and what's the worst that could happen? I mean, it happened last year with the Bucs. You run into a team that's going to say, here, we got a full season of your weaknesses on film, and we're going to exploit that as often as we can. And we're not going to outsmart ourselves. We don't need to. You got these things we can attack. We're going to attack them until the game's over. And that's what the Bucs did. That's, you know, it doesn't have to be the Bucs. It could be, you know, the Cowboys, playing the Rams against, you know, someone that can come in and exploit these things. And that kind of leads into what my biggest fear for this team is. And it's not necessarily the defense, because I think the defense is the obvious one, right? But just trending in the past when we're, you know, our PTSD is the three NFC, is it four now? Four NFC championship games that the Packers just laid an egg, you know, or did this or that. I think a recurring theme in a lot of those games are things that plague them all year, but they were still able to win. So it kind of got brushed under the rug. And I think that thing right now is this first quarter offense. It's been awful. I mean, it's one of the worst in the league, which is bonkers, because this offense is so
contrast good. From last year. A stark contrast from last year. They started hot always.
They put it on the ticker, right? 2.4 points a game in the first quarter. That's so uncharacteristic for this team. And I think we've kind of just been like, fine. They figure it out throughout the game. And then they railroad teams in the second, third quarter. And then they kind of coasted in the fourth, where you've gotten some of these backdoor cover type games against these teams that they had a 2-score lead on and felt like they were in control of the game. I kind of felt that way again with this Browns game. It's same as Baltimore. Even when they were driving at the end of the game, you're just kind of like, they'll figure it out. Like, they're not.
And that's a game. That's a philosophical thing, Jake, that has, you know, bothered me for a long time with the defensive coordinators and apparently with the offensive staff, because it remains an issue, is this time and yards philosophy once you get into the fourth quarter where you can just bleed the game away. And it's like, you know what bleeds the game away? Scoring more touchdowns, breaking the opponent's will. Like, they just think fourth quarter, 9 minutes left. Well, if we do 2 4-minute drives, they're not going to be able to score twice and win the game, especially if we kick a field goal. Well, it just doesn't work like that. And all the, by the way, you're good enough to not just sit on the ball. You're good enough to move the ball. You're good enough to score. That's what you did normally in the first three quarters this season, and in quarter two and quarter three. But the all gas, no breaks thing has honestly, Jake, been some bullshit this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think if you had some truth serum in Matt LaFleur, you would say, well, in the fourth quarter, we want to just matriculate the ball down the field. And I get it to an extent. We've seen it at times with this team, like being able to put a 5, 6, 7, 8 minute drive together in the fourth quarter. And that is backbreaking, but just go score, you know, like if that's how you get to it, great. But like, don't take your foot off the gas pedal. If they're still daring you to beat you over the top, then damn it, beat them over the top, you know, go score in 30 seconds. Who cares?
Yep.
So I get that. Absolutely. But that's my biggest fear is like against like a Dallas or a Tampa or a team that can score in bunches, like just coming out and being down 17-0 at the end of the first quarter and then being like, okay, here we go. Cause that's kind of what we see. That's what we saw last year with the Bucks, right? In that NFC Championship game is they got down early and then they kind of came back and they just, but the Bucks just were able to keep them at arm's distance the whole game because they started out so poorly. So that's my biggest fear. That's what I'd like to see them get fixed. We didn't even mention the special teams, which we don't need to. That's been talked about enough. But that's the negative. Those are the negatives. And the bottom line is, and the people that are going to come out and listen to this will be like, wow, Jake and Ross, that was really negative. This team is 12-3. And you're right. Like, I will ride that train with you till the cows come home. Because, this team is in the business of winning football games, in which they are doing. And that's great. That's great. But, you know, it's great to do those things against the Browns and the Ravens. But you got to go and do it against the good teams in the NFL. Is this team good enough to beat those teams? 100%. Absolutely. You know, I'm on board with that. But it's the things that scare you. So
that's the thing, you know, is like, look, folks, if Jordan Love had started this game and it was next year, we'd be ecstatic. I would be, you know, whatever. But like, everything, when you have Aaron Rodgers and you play in Titletown, everything is looked at through the lens of, can this team win a title? And the way they played yesterday, no. But the way that they played against the Rams, yes. You know, the way that they've played, in my opinion, both times against Chicago, hell yeah. I mean, I know Chicago stinks, but they kicked their ass. And so that's why this Baltimore and Cleveland stuff is concerning and why we get called the hater. And I know the Cheesehead TV thing is a bit, and I love what those guys do. Obviously, it's where I got my start. But, like, calling us the haters or whatever, folks, yes, the Packers are 12-3, but does it really matter if they lose again on the last weekend in January? No?
Nope. And that's what we're here for. Like, we're here to win championships. Like, that's what the Packers are all about as people that follow and cover this team and like this team. Like, that's what we want to see. I'm sick of hearing about the Rodgers only one title type thing. Aren't you? Like, I mean, come on. Like, that should be the goal every year with this guy. They should have, even if they win two, that's still going to be the narrative. They should have had more. And honestly, it's not all false. You know, they probably should have more than one. Well, they absolutely should have more than one. And so that's kind of like where the anxiety comes in with it as well. Like, and not to mention, Ross, this team is all in. You want to talk about all in teams? This is it for Green Bay. I don't know what this team is going to look like next year. I have my guesses, but you really just don't know. It's going to be, once this thing is over with, it is going to get very interesting in Green Bay as far as what happens. But again, that's all the negative. Let's talk about some of the positives. Let's talk about the reason why this team is 12-3. And one question that I have for you that I was talking about today with a couple other buddies, and it's about Yosh, right? So one, is this team good enough to win a title with Yosh Nijman playing left tackle?
Probably. I mean, I don't think that's going to be a problem for what it's worth. No. I think there is a plan for Bakhtiari.
Packers football is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Packer tickets anymore. Because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site, and the only one you'll ever need is your go-to for all NFL tickets. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that the other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all of their NFL tickets. Don't believe it? If you can find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the the difference in the purchase price. Recently, I was just able to pick up tickets to Packers Vikings in Minnesota. Going to be heading west for that game, attending my first game in the new Vikings stadium. Cannot wait for that. Let me tell you, it was so incredibly easy to use TickPick. No awful service fees. I cannot recommend it enough. And the easiest way to do so is by going to tickpick.com/packaday today to save $10 on your first order of Packers tickets or any other tickets that you want to purchase.
Well, that leads me right into my next question, because Yosh has played well, like, right? So he's played as good as a guy in that spot could play. And if they win it all, he will get the praise that he deserves 100%. But the question was, so with how – and let's just say Yosh has been playing average left tackle in the NFL. He's been average, right? So if Bakhtiari comes back and let's say it is the NFC Championship week, he is cleared to play in that game. He's got no live reps this year whatsoever. You're Matt LaFleur. You say, we're going with the All-Pro, right?
Of course.
He's playing. No,
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No question. He's that good.
And I do get some of the, you know, the trepidation about, like, he hasn't played. He's going to be rusty. It's going to be a good, like, and I get that. I do. But I think you hit it on the head. He's the Hall of Famer. He's your franchise left tackle. If he's cleared to play, he's playing, right? It's as good as Yosh has been, Bakhtiari is playing. And it's going to be the same for Turner. If he's cleared to play and he's got a week, you know, two practices, and then throw him out there because they are your best tackles and they need to play in that game. So I just thought that was an interesting question. I know that I've talked to multiple people about that. That's kind of one of the things you're starting to be like, well, does he play? Because he's going to be rusty. And I think the answer is slam dunk yes. But, Ross, you just got done with your film study for today. If you guys did not check that out, go over to Ross's timeline. Always one of my favorite bits of the week. Just him going through the game and just making sure we are all aware of the nitty-gritty details of that game, all broken down into nice, easily digestible tweets with some clips. So if you have not done that, please do that. But, Ross, give me your three biggest takeaways, positive takeaways from this game versus, and by the way, I did not prep you at all on this. So if you could just give me a nice clean top three positive takeaways from this Cleveland Browns game, just lay that out for us, Ross.
No, that's fine. I love that you went back with the, make sure I was going to be positive.
I know what your number one negative would be.
Yeah, my positives, you know, are going to be the defensive backs and the way that they played outside of the scheme. Like, I didn't love a lot of the soft coverage that allowed some completions, but you just saw play after play being made. And honestly, like, the one guy that didn't make a play, Eric Stokes, was making all sorts of plays. You know, like, we said this before the show, if the man had average hands, he might be a Pro Bowler as a rookie. You know, he's been that good. He's been that impactful. I was really impressed with him.
Easy speed, Ross. When you talk about easy speed, when you're going through this, like, draft process and you throw that word around with these corners – when people say easy speed, they need to talk about Eric Stokes, because he makes NFL receivers look like they're running on the beach. Like,
his catch up was a lot of fun, both on the 2-point conversion and his drop pick. That, just watching those bunnies, man, watching those burners, it was sweet. The second thing, Rodgers. I mean, he's just the MVP of the league. Like, what he was able to do before either him and Matt, or Matt, whoever took the foot off the gas there. I don't know what the hell that was about, but just him in the second quarter was absolute electricity. And then I guess the third thing is kind of an under the radar thing, and that's Royce Newman. He has really, really become an average to above average player. And as a rookie, you know, sometimes that means you're going to be a Pro Bowl player. Sometimes that means you're going to be an All-Pro player. But the second half of this year, he has been an average to above average right guard. And, you know, folks forget how long T.J. Lang sat before he even got to play. Folks forget that, you know, Josh Sitton wasn't Josh Sitton right away. Neither were, you know, a number of these guys that have ended up being really, really good for Green Bay. Like Corey Lindsey was a good football player, but he wasn't all pro Corey Lindsey until like year five, you know? So I'm really impressed with Royce, and I think they've got some real options. It would kill me for them to let Billy Turner go, especially considering he does have like almost $5 million in dead cap if they do let him go. But boy, you can certainly see a Yosh. And I've been wrong about this. I got to admit it. I forgot that he played 3 years of left tackle at Virginia Tech, but one full year of right tackle. So it's on film. And if they believe, you know, that they can get by with, you know, Yosh making no money, Newman making no money, Myers making no money, and then paying Bach and Elton a bazillion dollars, maybe that's what they have to do.
Yeah. And that's, I'm glad you brought up Royce, because that's something I said this week. And I think a lot of people, especially with the offensive line, a narrative gets set, right? He sucks. He's not good. And some of that's us, right? It's because he wasn't very good at the beginning of the year. So him being able to kind of turn that around and
really solve. I don't think I ever said he wasn't going to be good. I just think, mm-hmm. you know, we were being very honest about like, this is not good right now.
Well, and the Corey Lindsey is a good comp, because he might be on a very similar trajectory where Corey Lindsey was able to come in and just survive kind of his rookie year. And that's kind of what Royce is doing. And I think in the future, like, the Packers love Royce. And I think for good reason. He's a freakazoid athlete. He is their prototypical offensive guard, played tackle in college, playing guard now. So I think he's going to be a player that they just really love. And the offensive line stuff moving forward is going to be it's going to be really fascinating to see what they do. But Ross, I'm not even going to talk to you about the negatives, because we went through a bunch of negative stuff at the beginning, and I know that you think Chris Barnes sucks. So we don't need to talk about that. But if you want to know more about any of that stuff, like I said, we can go back and check out Ross's timeline. And Ross, where else can we check out some of your game breakdowns?
Yeah, you know, we're always cooking good stuff up at Packer Report. Perry Goldstein and I just did a fun breakdown of the Browns. We got a little bit weird, you know, that's why we had a little Packers after dark. It wouldn't, you know, not in the traditional sense, but it's one of the shortest days of the year. It was definitely dark outside when I started cutting up the film. So we did just more of kind of a chat as highlights played in the background, but it was fun, you know. So check out my Twitter feed at Ross Uglum. Check out Packer Report. Check out Packer Report TV. We got tons of great stuff going on, as well as all the awesome things going on right here at Packaday Podcast.
Right on. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoy listening to these podcasts, make sure you're giving us a 5-star review or wherever you take in your podcasts. We'll catch you guys next time. And until then, go Pack Go.